Model Fest 2020. That's this Sunday. It's coming up. If you're listening to this podcast right now, that's this weekend. It's on a Sunday, Camarillo, California. Try to come out if you don't have any plans. If you are coming out, I'm going to see you there. Why? Because I got some model kits to sell. It's the Model Fest, Model Car Contest, and Swap Meet. Sunday, February 23rd. Taking place at 455 Aviation Drive, Camarillo. It's from 8:30 to 3 p.m. They're also going to be having a car competition there. Not only cars, but, you know, multiple different genres of model kits. So make sure you come out, check out the show, buy some stuff, and just kick it. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Skull Riders Podcast. This is episode number 110, featuring my homie Luis Javier Cano, also known as LXC Scale Cars. What's up, Luis? How are you doing?
What's up, Edgar? How are you?
Pretty well, man. Just hanging out here at the pad now that we got the holiday over with Valentine's. I got some free time now. So how's your weekend?
Good, man. I went over the weekend with my family back at the house. But now I'm back at my brother's house, ready for school and work.
That's cool, man. It's crazy. Like, I was thinking the last time you were on the podcast was back in November when we did the video podcast over at Armando's house. And it's been a while, man. I mean, we're already in February.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was actually thinking, I was going to thank you for having me once again. So thanks for that.
I was thinking
this was my third time, but now that I was like, I just thought of it right now, this is actually going to be my fourth time. Cause
oh damn. Yeah.
Cause we did the video podcast, which I think that was my third one.
True.
If I'm correct, I'm not sure.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So I was kind of like tripping out of it.
Man, that's dope, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always fun having you on the podcast. Cause you're always up to different things, and that's one of the things I admire about you is you're always, you know, looking to see, you know, what to do to reach your goal of what you want to be, you know, because I mean you're still young and you have a lot of years, but at the same time it's like you can inspire a lot of people as well, you know. Even if you're older, it doesn't matter. It's never too late to do things. And I mean, I feel like from the last time you were on in November to now, a lot has happened, you know, a lot of things have come your way. And I know on the last podcast when you were on, we were talking about the Horizon 64, the Impala from Japan. And how was that feeling knowing that it was out in Japan and then seeing the images of the owner holding your model car in his hands?
I mean, it was great. The show was going on, and I think it's like 13 hours ahead of us from our time. I knew the show was going on and everything, and then I don't know where, like, I checked my messages, I think my messenger on Facebook, and then I see that Armando had sent me some photos, and then I was like, I wasn't really expecting like the photos of like the guy holding my model car, like the owner of the real car. So as soon as I saw those photos, I was like, oh damn, like it's like actually going down. So it was just like really exciting for him to actually hold my creation of his replica of his own car, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was crazy, because the week before the Moon Eyes, there was a lowrider show, and that's where he had his car at. And I mean, I'm not sure how far these shows are from each other. I'm assuming they're pretty far.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool that he also was there at Moon Eyes in attendance, and he got to see your car.
Yeah, I was actually, at first I was kind of bummed out, because like I was kind of be like the middleman for Armando and the guy. I was kind of like messaging Armando and then messaging the other guy. And then I knew he was going to be at that first show, but I wasn't sure if Armando was going to make it to that show. And a few days went passed, and then I guess I found out that the guy was at the show, but he couldn't find like the model cars. And I thought Armando was there. And then I was like, oh, hey, dude, like, Armando wasn't able to make it. Like, and then right there, I was kind of like bummed out because like, I was like, damn, like, he's not going to get to see my car, you know? And then, but he made it happen. Like, he managed to get the tickets for the next show. And he went, dude. I heard he took his whole family, like his wife and kids. And they were like all tripping out on it.
I bet.
Yeah. So I was really happy that he was able to see it in person and take photos with it, videos, whatnot. And he almost kept it, but I couldn't let it go.
Yeah, I bet, man. I mean, it's crazy because that car, I never really, and it wasn't on my radar, you know, like back then.
Yeah.
And you know, the more. When we were trying to work on, well, what car are we going to do, right, for Japan? At some point, I remember, like, you and Armando started to show me images and videos of this car, the Horizon. Yeah. And I started to see the guy, like, videos of it. You would send me somewhere, he has the back locked up, and then he just drops it. Yeah. And that thing just, like, dropped all the way down, like, slammed, you know?
Yeah.
And it tripped me out, just the angle that the car was. I was always like, man, this car is like super low.
Yeah.
You know? And how, when you started to notice that, like, what discoveries did you come across on that body of that car?
At first, I wasn't aware. Like, I thought the car would lay that low, like, originally, like, just like by, like, naturally, you know? But then when I was working on my model car, I remember I thought I had done everything so it could like lay low apparently, and then I put the skirts on, and I wasn't really paying too much attention to like the back part of the car, so I was like, oh yeah, my car's gonna lay low and all that. But then I put the skirts on, and then I started looking at my car and then the photos of the real car, and then I started to notice like there was still a gap between the floor and the rear quarter panel, like behind the skirts. And I was like, what the heck? Why is my car not as low as the real car? And then that's when I started like paying like really close attention to the real car. And then there was a video in particular that kind of made me realize the body was modified. And I noticed they had to like remove, kind of like section the body in a way. Like they changed the whole angle of the car from the bottom just so the back could lay more. So I guess in height, the back of the car is a bit shorter compared to like the front.
Wow.
Underneath the door. So that whole body line is like at an angle now that matches the rear quarter panel.
Man, that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
Were you starting to feel like, man, what did I get myself into?
I did, man. I was kind of like, I think I was stressing like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to do this. Like, this is like, I've never done this. This is just gonna add more work and everything, but I just pushed through it. Like I did that first. I modified the body, like the real car, and then I knew I was gonna have to modify my door panels, like make them shorter a bit, cause the back was gonna be tucking in more. But I think it worked out like perfectly, cause I was able to finish on time, and it also taught me a lot, just by knowing what else has to be done. And in particular, it's like a 64 Impala to lay that low in case I ever want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like changing the angle of the body, but also like some stuff has to be done to like the door panels and the frame.
Were you ever like worried to cut the car and to do all the modifications you needed to do?
Yeah, because personally, like I'm one of those that kind of, I don't really mess with the body as far as like modifications. I might do like shave door handles and like shave emblems, but nothing like a chop top or like what I did to the 64. And, but if it's like for that particular look, like I'm all for it. But I was kind of scared to like cut that little section off, you know?
Yeah, because sometimes it feels like you can do it, and it's like, man, there's no going back. Or even if you patch it up and glue it or start, it's still not going to be the same. Like, it's just a lot of body work.
Yeah, but honestly, I think the guy planned it out very well because the color he chose, it's like a dark purple. So you, like the whole when he lays it out, the whole bottom part of the car is like dark. So you can't really tell it's been modified in that way, you know? So I think the color helps a lot and not being able to like notice that.
Yeah, like it gives like this illusion too.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, that's crazy. That's tight, man. That it's like, I don't know, it's really interesting. I think, people seeing your car, they see it in person and they're like, "Damn, look at that." And then next they find out it's a replica and they see the real thing in the video. It's just like makes it more like crazier.
Yeah, and I'm slowly still adding like some details. Like when they went to Japan, it didn't have like the turn signals painted or like the wipers and what else? Some other little details that I didn't add just because I wasn't ready for them. But it had them for the end now. And it's still not like completely finished, but like most of it is completed. I just need to get some stuff chrome plated and that's it.
Yeah, the trim that you added around, dude, I love that on that 64. And even for the ones that I have, I feel like I would like to add that as well. When the time comes to work on a 64, I just feel like that look just looks so awesome.
Yeah, I think this car made me love that style more compared to a super sport because I've always been into the super sport and never really paid attention to like the non-SS Impala. But I think this car made me change my perspective on that car. And a lot of people trip out on it. They think it's bare metal foil or painted. And no, it's all styrene.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it
all
is
styrene.
crazy because I never paid it like back then. I never really paid attention to that, like super sport, non super sport, and then when the more you meet people, other model builders and people, they start to share information and their passion for these cars, that you start to learn and they start to point out the differences in the cars, the bench seats, even the like the consoles, all these different
Yeah,
things, you start
and
to
then the
notice
bumper
it.
guards as well.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, what the heck? Like,
Yeah.
you would just think, I mean, for even for me, like I would see a 64 and I would see a super sport and then I would see a non-super sport and I would think, oh, it's the same thing, not really thinking too much of it, like the differences. But now it's I admire it a lot.
Yeah, and yeah, I think it worked out perfectly because I'm not sure if I was aware if they even made the interior for that car or if the bumper guards, like the bumpers were made, like if someone was casting them. But I remember that Showcase Hobbies. I remember seeing one of his projects at NNL West. It's like a green car with like gold wheels. And I remember he did a non-SS as well. So I instantly like sent him a message. I was asking for like the bumpers and the interior. And yeah, he was able to send me a set of each, and I completed a build. It was just up to me to get the photo etch emblems and finish the interior and paint job and put it all
Wow.
together. Yeah.
That's dope,
So
dude.
so shout out to Showcase Hobbies.
Yeah, he came through. Yeah,
No,
it's
yeah, he did.
there's like a 62 Impala, like the Revel. And I remember purchasing one. It's the I think it's that California. I don't know if it's Cruisers. I might be bashing it, but it's the box is kind of really bright and it has like a little California license plate on it. And
Yeah,
that,
it's the one that has like the star rims, kind of like the two spoke stars kind of
I
thing.
think so. Yeah, the car and the cover's in red on that box art, and that model is a super sport. But I know that Revell had also re released like a limited edition one, where it's like one of those like two in one,
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then in the cover it shows a 62, but in brown. And I remember looking at that one, but I never purchased it before, ever. I used to see it at shows, and I used to see it online, but I never got the opportunity to ever purchase it. But I did notice that in that kit, it does come with like a bench seat. So I'm assuming it offers the non SS.
That's crazy, because I actually remember owning that kit, but like you said, like I never paid attention to it back then.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know like the differences of a super sport and a non super sport.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I'll try to find some photos and stuff too, and I'll send it to you so you can see. Because I remember just looking at my super sport one and being like, "All right, these are like bucket seats, you know." And yeah. I would always be like, "Man, I want a bench, you know. Yeah. I want like just that look." And yeah. I don't know. I never really thought about it until later. I saw the box and everything, and I started to see all the pieces, and I was like, oh, that one comes with it, you know. So it offers, I want to say, a couple versions. Maybe I could be wrong. It could be a few, because I know some of the, when they do those limited edition, it does give you some options in there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, because
I haven't seen that kid in a while now. At stores, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's been out, like, you know, came out a while back.
Yeah.
I know Armando has one on his wall up on display. And every time I look at it, I'm always thinking, like, there's probably a bench in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And right now you're currently working on a 62.
Yeah, 62 convertible, the AMT one.
Yeah.
That's a project between me and my brother. After, because me and him made the drive up to Armando's house to drop off my 64, so Armando could take to Japan. And my brother, for those of you that don't know, he used to build motor cars. He's kind of the one that introduced me to it. And he was just amazed at all the work that the guys were doing and Armando's display box in his garage. And I don't know if he told one of them or me that he was like, it kind of like motivated him to like want to build one. So I'm not sure if I brought it up to the guys. And then Ivan, Little Shop of Matters, he offered to gift us a 62 Impala, and which was one of the cars my brother wanted. So he sent that to us. And yeah, I'm like really appreciated of that he did that for us. And right now the car is in primer. You guys might have seen some photos of it on Instagram with Jerry's new wheels. And yeah, it's slowly coming together.
That's cool. That last photo you recently, the one you posted earlier today.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, like anybody else, just zooming in on the image, looking at the body and everything. And I was just tripping out how smooth that car looks.
Yeah, I tend to always primer. Well, I try to get most of the imperfections off before primering it, like wet sanding it and all that. And then I kind of spray a light coat of primer just to kind of give me an idea of where I'm at with the body and the imperfections. And obviously with the primer, it's kind of like a guide coat, like you've mentioned before. So that kind of shows us all the little imperfections that we still need to work on. And I'm just kind of going over my imperfections 2 times, 3 times. I think on this one, I'm on my 3rd time. And I still need to do one more round of sanding. But it's just like a very light sanding session I need to do on it. But it's basically just using God hand sanding sponges. I tend to start at 220, I think, is the red sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of work up to the 600 grit. And it leaves it really smooth for the Tamiya primer.
Yeah, that was one of my questions I was going to follow up with, is your process. Yeah. As far as, you know, getting your car prepped and into the primer stages. Because I know, you know, all of us, we're still learning and we're still doing stuff. And a lot of us have our own methods of how we do things. But then again, there's always going to be some people that are, theirs are going to be like a lot more cleaner, or we want them to look like that, you know? And sometimes I get those questions asked as to, like, once you primer it, what grit should I follow it up with before I lay the paint, you know? And I feel like it's a question that gets asked and it probably gets answered, but it's always like a good question to continue answering, you know, even though months or years pass by, because there's always someone that wants to know and try it out, you know? And like for you, when you get a brand new kit and you open the kit, do you right away wash it, or do you scuff it down and then wash it?
I usually just start sanding it and then I wash it, 'cause I don't think like there's like any need for washing it before sanding it. But that's just me. I usually just open up the box, get to it, like get all the, what do you call it, the mold lines off,
Like
all
the
that.
flash.
Yeah, the flash. And then once I feel like I've gotten most of the imperfections off that I can see with no primer, I try to get it as smooth as possible, and then just shoot a light coat of primer, and then that's gonna show up all my imperfections, like the ones I missed. And then it's just a process, just repeat it over and over until you're golden. But when you're shooting your primer, don't try to go for, like, don't try to finish it off like your last coat of primer, you know? Like, you know you're still working to try to get it smooth and other imperfections worked out. So just work yourself up to like the fourth session of sanding. And then when you notice like the car doesn't have any imperfections, or you get it where you like it, that's when you kind of could start planning for the last coat of primer. But each coat I spray on my cars are very light, because I don't want it to, even though Tamiya primer is like really thin, I don't want to cover up the detail on it, because I know I'm going to be shooting primer over and over and over.
It starts to build up after a while.
So just always a light coat of primer when you're still doing like your body work.
Because you can see everything on there, all the lines, and you know, even the emblems look crisp right in there. And imagine you keep spraying matte primer, it gets all thick and clumpy, and you're like, oh man, what's going on?
That'd be
It
crazy.
in that 62, what's the vision that you guys have planned for as far as like colors?
We actually have the colored ordered. Some of you guys might have noticed that I asked a question on Instagram a few weeks ago. And my brother and I kind of like a clean original look and like original colors here and there. And he must have done some research where he looked up on Google 62 Impala, and he came across a few. I think he was debating whether kind of like a tangerine, a white, and the one we ended up choosing, which was the Corona Cream. It's like a yellow creamish color, so that's the one we're gonna end up choosing. And I ordered the color through, I think it's, shoot, I just blanked on the name. I totally blanked on the name.
Were they N and L?
Yeah, they were at NNL. It
The
wasn't splash paint.
okay.
It was another one that was like on the opposite side of them.
Yeah, E, the competitors.
Yeah, but I got the color from them.
Nice.
So yeah, it's gonna be like it's gonna be kind of just original clean street car, I guess.
Is it that one that was a Corona cream?
Yeah, Corona Cream.
Nice.
It's the name of the color. And usually people, when they choose that color, they usually spray the interior the same color. I mean, not spray, but upholstery the seats the same color as the car. And it looks nice, but I feel like everything just looks the same and nothing pops out, you know? So the 62 my brother came across, which is the same color, has a black top and a black interior. So I think we're gonna go for that look as well, a black top and a black interior.
That's cool. I saw the one of your posts that you reshared. It was your brother and yourself going to NNL, but it was like 7 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Dude,
What was
that's
it,
crazy.
2013, I think?
I
2013,
mean, I'm thinking like, man, this is like, well, my third time going. You're 7 years deep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a
And I feel
trip.
like it's been for longer though, but 7 times in 7 years, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, my brother and I went to the first, he took me to my first NRL. I met Pancho there. I remember he had his cars. I met Al Camacho. And I'm sure I met some other guys as well, but those are the two that I remember. It's funny because it's always been at the same location ever since I started going at the Santa Clara Convention Center. And I don't really remember which cars I took my first time, but I think it was like a red 64, a green 59. And I know I had other cars, but I remember leaving some cars behind just because they were kind of like falling apart. So
He just ditched them?
yeah, like I feel like I only took two. And there's probably a video on my channel of the first time I went to NNL. I know there's some of the other guys' cars, but I don't know if there's videos of my cars. I was kind of always like shy of recording my own cars, but I remember pulling up like with my brother into the parking lot, and then I was like looking through my boxes of cars. I would take them in the same box they come in, and I remember just putting them underneath like the seat where I was sitting in the truck. And then I was like, no, this one can't, I can't take it to the show because it's falling apart. Pieces were falling apart and everything. I think I just took two. I think it was a green 59
Yeah.
and a red 64. But yeah, that's like a little funny memory I have of my first time going there.
That's crazy. That's pretty awesome though, of your brother to,
Yeah.
I mean, that's what older brothers do,
Yeah.
you wanna expose your younger brother or sister into something, whether it's model show or anything else that, is gonna be fun or positive, like some activity,
Yeah.
or even a sport,
Yeah.
sometimes like they don't know what's out there because they're so young. A
Yeah.
and when you're an older sibling, your job is to obviously, take care of and protect and provide for your young brother or sister, but it's always awesome to also be like, hey, I'm gonna take you to this event just to see your reaction, just to see what happens,
Yeah.
but especially when they know that you're already like invested into it, they already know that you're actually, working on your kits and you're really into cars, why not go to a car show? And then it gets even more special when it's like a model car show.
Yeah, and it's cool because I don't think he ever went to a model car show when he was young, so it was kind of like a first time for both of us. So that was kind of neat as well.
No, that's dope, man. And I mean, your brother's just hella cool.
Yeah, you guys met him, right? Like
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
second time at Armando's house, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's always, I mean, when I chop it up with him, he's always, super interested in the model cars and stuff. And whenever you've shown me like images or video clips of your brother's old stuff from back in the day, it's always like, oh, that's dope. Like when you showed me those Ford trucks that he had.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
it's cool. Like all that stuff right there. And I mean, it's like I have a younger brother and there was a time where I was trying to get him into it,
Yeah.
I was trying to expose him, like, hey, check out this kit. Like, hey, how about I work on this one, you work on that one,
Yeah.
And we'll just do our thing. And I was trying to show him and he thought it was cool, but then he wasn't really too into it,
Yeah.
It was kind of like we just got to the primer stages to get together, and then
Yeah.
he put the car away, and weeks would pass, and I would be like, hey, do you want to work on your car? I was like, because I'll work on mine, because I wanted to go at the same pace as him, and he was just like, oh man, I gotta do, like, he always had to do stuff all of a sudden, and then oh, I'm tired, oh, I'm gonna take a nap. And then I don't know, after a while I was like, nah, I'm just like bugging him, leave him alone.
No.
and stuff, but it never happened. But part of me is like, man, I wish he would have gotten into it too, you know?
Yeah. I think the same thing is kind of going on with me right now. Like, I don't have a younger brother, but I do have my sister's kids. They're two boys and a girl. But I think, like, when the two boys kind of reach, or when all three of them reach, like, a certain age, I might try to, like see if they want to build a car. They're into cars, like the Lightning McQueen cars and all that stuff, and Hot Wheels. But I'm not sure if they would be into, like, building a model car, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they would, but I don't think they would. They would be too attached to it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'm going to give it a shot one of these days.
Yeah, give it a shot, see how it goes. Imagine you take them to a model show. You're like, yeah, it's going to be cool. Next thing you know, they're grabbing cars off tables. They're getting you in trouble? Nah.
That's crazy because they've actually been to a model car show before. My sister and I and the kids, we made the trip to the Cadillac Fest. I think it was the 2017 one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my first model car show out there in the LA area.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just looking at the model cars. And I was, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was kind of scared, like, that they would grab, like, a model car, you know? I was, like, scared, to be honest. But they were just looking at them. And I think they did enjoy it. But that was, like, what, 3 years ago, I think?
Yeah, that was a while back. I remember seeing you there, too, like, at the show.
That's crazy, huh?
But never, like, saying, like, what's up or nothing, you know? Yeah. It's just, I didn't know.
You
know, you, I remember you were, like, walking around, and this is before you put your car, you busted out your car and you put it on the table.
Okay.
And you were wearing a Masterpieces hat.
Yeah.
So, when I saw that, and then knowing Armando, I was like, all right, like, he's also, you know, part of the club and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, he's never mentioned them though, you know? Like, I mean, it's not like I knew Armando for so long. Like, I barely had met him too. But I was just thinking, like, oh, I wonder if he lives by him, you know?
Yeah.
Or something. And it's just, I was curious to see what you were going to bust out with. And then that was the 59 Impala.
Yeah, the 59.
You brought that out, and I remember just staring at it, you know, and looking at the back with all the flake and just tripping out, you know? And what made me trip out more was when it was opened, and you could see the pattern on the other side, on the inside.
Oh, yeah, on the underside of the trunk.
Yeah. And I was like, what the heck? How did you mirror that on the other side, too?
Yeah.
Things like that were just, like, tripping me out. And I seen it, but it was one of those things, like, I think you set it up, and then after all, you walked away. So I wasn't going to go chase you, you know, crazy. Hey, man. Like, we're all outside. Hey, dude. I was just like, all right. It's not the timing. Like, if you were standing by it, then I would have said something like, yo. But, yeah, dude, I was tripping out, though. I was like, damn, this kid's dope. You know, this guy's tight. And I mean, there's a lot of people who were there that I didn't even know. And I was like jocking the cars for sure, but I didn't know who the person was behind it.
Yeah. It's crazy because, like, there was people I didn't know there at the time either. And there were some, like, I knew, like, who they were, but I wasn't sure if they knew who I was. Like, so it was kind of like, I wasn't sure if I should go up to them and, like, introduce myself. But then there would be other people that would come up to me. I remember, I'm not sure if you know him, but he's on Facebook by Tito. And I remember that was the first time I met him, and we would always talk through Facebook. And he instantly, like, recognized me. He, like, went up to me, and we hugged it out. I think we hugged, and he shook my hand and everything. It was just a cool experience, man.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting, like, different people there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Have you ever thought about maybe... I know you could drive out here, but then again, it's like, if you drive down here, it's a mission, and especially driving by yourself.
Yeah.
It's a mission, but have you ever considered maybe flying out here or taking a train out here?
I've thought about it, but I don't know, like, it's been a while since I've been on a plane, so I don't know about that. I think I'd prefer driving, to be honest. But I just, so it could be quicker, I might consider like just flying in.
That'd be super
But
fast.
yeah, and that way I could come back in case I need to do something on Monday or whatever. That way I could go in like I could spend more time out there, you know?
Yeah, you'll spend more time waiting at the airport than the flight itself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you check in and you're in, all right, cool. And then once you get on that plane and next thing you know, it's like 30, 40 minutes you're here.
Yeah,
And
like I
then
could probably try to catch a plane that leaves like at midnight and be out there like in the morning, you know?
And I mean, it's like you have two airports, LAX or the Burbank Airport, and you're close to a lot of things
Yeah.
out this way. And even out there, you know, whether if you fly out from San Francisco or the San Jose
Yeah.
Airport, they're pretty close. I mean, they're not going to
Yeah.
be that far from your house, you know?
Yeah, or I think the one we would probably get, which is closer to our house, is the Oakland Airport, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got some options.
Yeah, there's a few options. There, I do wanna start traveling to different areas. I think I'd start off in California, like going to LA. But I definitely wanna just get out of this area, you know, like, 'cause the only show I really go to is the end of the West because it's close by. But I used to go to a show out in Stockton, but I stopped going to that just because it was, I feel like it was just like the same people over and over. And I don't know, I didn't really like the vibe. It was just kind of too far. Not too far, but it, I feel like it was just like the same cars over and over, you know. But that's all I. And then seeing like different people come out to NNL West, like how they make the trip, I'm like, damn, like I need to make the trip out there, you know, to their hometown.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, like going back to what you said, like, you know, you weren't feeling it 'cause you were seeing the same cars. I feel like not that there's nothing wrong with bringing the same cars, but the thing is you want to go to a show and get inspired.
Yeah.
You know, you like when we see new cars, we get excited and we get
Yeah.
inspired. We come home
Yeah.
like dude, like did you see what so and so brought out? You know, it's things like that, those reactions that stay with you. And then when you get back home, it's like you can't wait to get back onto the drawing board and try to make something new, different, or that's your goal. You know, you want to get that reaction from people.
Yeah.
You
And
know.
I know I'm one of those guys that brings the same car. But I like the reason I bring them is because I know, in particular for like the NNL West, I know there's people like new people, like making the trip each year, so it's not always the same people that see the car. At least the people like I follow on Instagram that I know that are gonna make the trip, that haven't seen the car, so it's kind of like giving them a chance to kind of see the car in person, as to just seeing them on Instagram.
True.
But yeah, I don't think I'm ever gonna stop like bringing the same cars over and over again, you know, like maybe some of the older ones, yeah, but
Retire them.
yeah.
Damn, they're gonna get all sad. Like, oh, dang.
Not, it's 'cause my goal is to like grow my collection and then one day be able to bring like most of the good ones, you know, and show them. Like I want to be able to fill up more than just like what I'm filling up right now, you know, on the table.
It's crazy. Like when I was on the last previous episode when I was talking to Chippa T, I was just tripping out that you guys knowing each other go way back.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not like oh we just met like at the NNL recently, like this year or last year. It's like
Yeah.
you guys known each other. You guys were younger.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly on the age, but it was probably like 2014, 15, maybe.
How old were you then at that time?
14, 15. I don't know the age because I was born in
Yeah.
1999, so.
Dang, you so you're kind of synced with the years then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it was kind of forgetting my age because the years don't remind me.
Yeah, they kind of like, well, they like line up.
Yeah.
Wow. And
But yeah, we go way back.
and like you know, when you guys were doing YouTube, because I know you had some early videos on YouTube,
Yeah.
that one day you were telling me, man, I deleted some, I regret it now.
Yeah, I started my YouTube channel back in 2012, I believe. And I would just record from my old iPhone clips of my model cars, and they were just like random videos and everything, but I did have some videos of some of my very first cars, which I ended up deleting because I don't know, I kind of felt like some of the videos were kind of like cringy, like the music, and then I don't know, I think it was mainly the music, like the Mexican music, I don't know. I feel like people would be like judgy about that.
Yeah, like
But
what is he, what is this?
I don't know, like I regret erasing them because those were some of my first cars I built, you know. I don't think I have photos. I might have photos, but not videos, you know, of them.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks because it's like a, I don't know how to describe it, but a way to look at, like, look back at where you started from, you know, and how much you've progressed throughout each build.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's one of those things, like when you don't know something and then you see it and you're like, oh, I want to learn how to do that, and you don't even know yet what you're getting yourself into, you know, you don't know how the struggles are going to come with it, and it's like you keep at it, you know, and time passes, next thing you know, you've been into this for like a year. And you're starting to get there, you know, you're starting to kind of like bust out with that goal, and eventually like 5 years go on and you've already surpassed that. Now you're onto some other things, but it's almost like until you go back and you look at, if you keep that first model, those first model cars, and at this, or you look at images or videos from back then. It takes you back, dude, to that mindset. Like, damn, this is back in the day, right here.
Yeah.
You know, this is before I met so and so and so and so and so and so that taught me how to do this. You know,
Yeah.
it's kind of a trip because, you know, as you grow and the things you learn, you start to mature, and the same thing with your cars, they start to change too, and then even they start to mature as
Yeah.
well.
And your skills as well, like working with different tools and stuff. And learning the steps behind whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. How excited were you for the NNL West, like the pre-party, the pizza party that Alex threw?
Oh, I was excited, man. Like, I was excited, but at the same time, like, I didn't want it to come up too fast because I knew it was gonna be gone, like right away, you know. And then I think, like you mentioned in one of your previous episodes, where it was just gonna be like a memory, you know. And I remember I was doing some stuff before the pre-party. I remember I think I got a haircut and I had to go take a shower, and then my tia invited me to go eat, and then I still had to go make the drive from Redwood City to Fremont, which wasn't too far, but I kind of ended up getting lost. But I was excited, man, just to go see the cars and the people that were making it from different places.
Not
But
yet.
it was an exciting feeling.
It's kind of a trip when you run into your friends in a different city or in a different like area. You know, so let's say like you and me and anybody, you know, we all hang out, we see each other at these shows, but it would be a crazy different feeling if we were out like in like New Jersey or Atlanta, you know? We would be like, damn, we're out here. Like, this is crazy, you know? It's because you start, you know, it's, you know, you start like just getting there, part of the journey, you know, these are all just memories, all these things that you're living together, like doing all this stuff. So that night it was like special, you know, like to everybody that was there that made it out. Cause yeah, people drove far for sure, you know?
Yeah.
And just seeing like everyone just chop it up, do their thing, kick it, trip out on the cars, you know, get all this footage and whatnot. And I mean, it's really the model cars that like brought everybody together that night. I mean, Alex for sure found the spot. He promoted it, hosted it, invited everybody up, you know, but it was cool that people were like, hell yeah, like let's go support Alex, you know?
Yeah.
He's been doing this for a minute now, and let's, you know, we're going to be around town. So why not? Let's go check it out and bring our stuff.
Yeah.
So that was
shout
dope.
Out to Alex, man.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Alex. I like that video you did for that night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wish I would have recorded a bit more, but it was crowded, man. that area was crowded.
Mm-hmm.
You it was hard to like make a full pass from start to finish on the table.
Yeah.
But I try to capture as much as I can and make a little video out of it. I try to include everything I record, because I feel like everything's important to show to like the viewers. But then again, like I feel like I need to get into the mindset where I should kind of like pick out the highlights, you know, of my footage and try to make like a short video. Because I feel like if I dump all my footage into YouTube and like a 10-minute video, like I feel like no one's in the, I mean, like one or two people might watch it, you know,
the whole thing.
But yeah, mm-hmm. but like I'm one of those persons, like I don't think I can go for more than 5 minutes. I know my videos sometimes might not be interesting or like where they grab your attention, but I don't think a person can like sit just watching the video like for like more than 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I feel
it's hard
because there's just so much information out dropping like by second, you know, like every second there's like you keep refreshing your YouTube and there's going to be new videos from people you're subscribed to or just the recommendations that YouTube's throwing at you.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, you know, we don't have the time, you know, we're busy with work. We're, you know, like you go to school, you have to do homework. You got to do all these things. So whenever you want to disconnect from what's in front of you, you go, oh, let me pop into YouTube real quick. Let me see. Let me just look at something real quick.
Yeah.
And they could be one of those videos that can be clickbait, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a 30-minute clickbait video, and you're like, ah, whack, wasted all this time. Or it could be something that the cover looks super interesting, but the video is like 10 minutes, and you're like, I don't know if I want to invest 10 minutes into this, because I only have 3 minutes right now.
Yeah. And then sometimes, like, the main part of the video, like, the title is, like, towards the end of the video, like, and that's, like, the annoying part sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And so it causes our attention spans to just, you know, the time to go, like, smaller, like, and lower and lower and lower.
Yeah.
It starts to shrink pretty much. So
yeah.
I remember, like, there was videos that I would record, like, 10 minutes up to 30 minutes, you know? And being like, cool, just footage. And like you said, I wasn't doing no highlights. I wish I would have, but I wasn't. I was just like, I'm going to showcase the whole thing. And I would throw it up on YouTube. And it wouldn't get that many plays. And if it would get plays, it would, on the stats, it would tell me right away, like, the duration of this video viewed would be like 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, so like I'd
be thinking like, dang, like the rest is like no one's even watching the rest, you know?
Yeah,
it's like lost footage right there. So I started to go back and dissect a lot of those videos, you know, not all of them, because some I deleted from my phone, but the ones I still had, I started to be like, all right, this 10-minute video, let me split it into like 2 minutes. And it'll be like, you know, I'll have like five parts or so, you
Yeah.
know, but max 2 minutes, maybe three.
Yeah.
And I started to notice that those short videos started to have a bigger impact. Like, I started to get the views up more on those, a bigger response, like just better response and whatnot. That sometimes people would be like, oh, dude, when that happened, where's this at? Was this today?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like random comments from just people, and I'll be like thinking to myself, dang, like this was like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, you know, and it's like barely getting looked at like more.
Yeah.
And I was just like, nah, you know, I'll just let it be, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that always tripped me out. But man, your videos are dope, dude. The production and everything. You keep stepping up your game on that.
Thanks, man. I try to like make it a bit more, I don't know. I guess more interesting. I don't know. But the thing that's annoying for me is like the music, you know, like I want to find like a nice music, like beat that kind of goes with the footage, but not only that it goes with the footage, but like kind of like that isn't, I don't know what's the correct word, but like that sets the mood for the viewer, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like, and I've noticed it in some of my videos where like the music, like the most recent ones, the music might be a little bit too calm, where I feel like if you're just watching that like for 2 or 3 minutes, I feel like that would even be boring, you know. Like, and then the footage is like slow motion, but I'm like slowly trying to like improving that. I watched a YouTuber. He does vlogs, and like his style is all his videos are 4 minutes and 20 seconds, which in those 4 minutes and 20 seconds, he like includes all the highlights of all the vlogs he's recorded. And he kind of just makes it like, it's not like a full 4 minutes and 20 seconds where like it's just one clip. It's like all like different clips where he's jumping to different days of his vlogs, you know? And I feel like that kind of makes it more interesting because you're not watching the same thing for 4 minutes. It's a little bit of one vlog, a little bit of a different vlog and everything, you know? So that's kind of what I'm trying to incorporate into my videos. My most recent videos, they were 4 minutes and 20 seconds. I kind of got that from him. But I feel like I still need to go possibly to like 2 minutes or 1 minute, you know? Like you suggested to me a few days ago or weeks ago, where I should just like record like a minute video of like my project and just upload it. So that's, I'm kind of trying to focus on that. I recorded one of the 62 today. Whenever I get some time, I'm gonna see if I could put something together on that and upload it on YouTube. But I'm slowly just trying to improve on the videos. I'm not consistent, but hopefully we'll get to that.
It's crazy 'cause like you doing the videos and editing and all, it's almost like you took on another hobby.
Yeah.
You know, you're treating it the same, like if it's like a model car, you know, and you could see it. It's almost, you know, like if people that know your work and the time you take and everything, it's like you're seeing it, you're visually seeing it produced.
Yeah, I never even paid attention to that. That's crazy. But yeah, I try to like not just I don't know, I kind of was want to make it interesting for the people, you know. But it's hard, I feel like, when you're trying to do something but you're not really sure how to do it. But sometimes I might just be overthinking it, you know. Where it's just like a sim, it could just be like a simple video recorded from your phone, and then just do a little cuts here, a little fades out, and then just add a little track on it.
It's a trip. Like you're gonna keep making, you know, videos until you find your niche, until you
Yeah.
find like, okay, this is the timing I should be rocking with, and this is where my audience is at, you know,
Yeah.
because it what trips me out is, remember how we were having conversations about uploading videos to YouTube versus Facebook? And even on Facebook, like some years back, I had started the Scale Riders like page. And I mean, the numbers were super low on it. Like, it wasn't nothing crazy, you know. It wasn't like, oh man, this thing's blowing up, you know. It was, I knew, you know, this is something new, and I gotta start it up, but I gotta do it now. And and it started around the same time with like the Instagram, around those times when I opened up the pages and I started to post photos and later videos. But I noticed the Instagram was like climbing quicker as far as followers, and like with Facebook, it wasn't as effective. Like, not that many people were really rocking with it.
Yeah.
And then finally, it started to like, you know, grow a little more than before. So it went from like 300, and then it went to 1,000, you know, followers. And then I remember when I hit like the 2,000 mark, like it just kind of like it went dry. You know, like it stayed like that for a long time. Like, nobody was really jumping on board with it, right, on Facebook. So when I started doing the YouTube stuff, I was just like, all right, cool. I'm starting to get a response on here with the videos and whatnot. And then I said, you know what? Let me put a video clip on Facebook. Let me see what happens, you know? And I would post the link. First, I'd post the link from YouTube, and it was nothing crazy, you know, because it's almost like people would, if they would click it, it would take them out of Facebook and directly into YouTube. And it's almost like they were like anti-YouTube, you know, like all I do is Facebook, you know, like, this is my tribe. This is all I do. And this NNL that just passed, I had some short clips, and I was like, you know what, let me post them up on the Facebook. So I post like George Ramos is hurt, like his Volkswagen Herbie.
Yeah.
And I post it up, and you know, I don't like, I'm like, cool. I got it on, you know, he had it on the turntable and whatnot. And I got a short little clip, not even a minute, you know? And I post it up, not thinking anything of it, because I mean, that's like a really, it's like a Disney iconic car from like, from, you know, this movie, from its time. And I mean, he did his version, like his vision, he like created it, right? He did his like version of Herbie, all stance and everything, you know, all crazy. So dude, like when I posted the video, I checked back, you know, probably like the next day, and I had seen that thing had gotten like a grip of shares and views. And next thing you know, I had like 1,000 more followers like overnight. And I was like, wait, I'm tripping. You know, it went from 2,000. Now it's in the 3,000s. Like, how did that happen? Right. And then I kept getting notifications, like more and more people liking it, sharing it, commenting. And I was like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden, the video had like 20,000 views, 30, and it kept climbing up, dude. And I was like, dude, like, this is nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And like, after that, like, I was like, you know what? Like, this thing's taking off right now, like this little boat or whatever, right? Let me keep adding more videos. So I kept feeding it, like, videos and more pictures and... And it was almost like not whatever video, but certain videos were getting a lot of attention. Like, people were sharing this now. And now it's up to like, now it's in the 5,000s of new likes.
Yeah.
Like page likes or whatever. And for me, it's more like, my goal is for sure is like, I want to hit like 10K, right? For Facebook. Yeah. But it's more because of the response. So, you know, when if I showcase or I feature a scale model artist, it's like I want to bring more awareness to that car and to this person, you know. My goal is like, if I showcase you, like your car, your Horizon, And it's almost like I want it to get to a point where a lot of eyes are gonna be on that car, that it's gonna make an impact, that they're gonna be like, dude, like, I'm gonna start following him. I wanna start checking out his stuff. You know, and like anybody that I'm just like, dude, like, people need to see this, you know?
It's like you're plugging the artist by giving them some followers, some awareness.
Yeah,
It's cool.
like being the platform, you know, for a lot of the model builders out there. 'Cause I know that, you know, like, and it takes me back to like the beginning of the whole like reason why I'm even doing this, is 'cause I know that there's a lot of people out there that stay at home, build their cars, they rarely go to shows, or they don't even go to shows at all. But at the same time, if they do, they're like super quiet about their cars, you know? They don't say nothing. And it's kind of like, dude, like, I feel like people need to see this. You know, you need to get out there and
Exposure.
let people check this out. And if you're shy or whatever to say it or to show it, dude, I'll do it for you. You know? And then all the everything else just kind of comes into play, you know, like, people start to ask you questions like, hey, how do you do this or that? And I don't know, I guess that's where like the tutorials and things start to kind of kick in, you know? Because I always feel like, man, well, I got help, why not help others? So that's always like right now, I mean, you finally got this opportunity right now. You're working at a body shop. How did that all come together, and how do you feel now that you're in there?
It all started to happen, I think it was around November or September of 2019. I think I was just asking around to some of my friends on Instagram if they knew of any like custom restoration shops around here. And one of the guys I asked was Alex Ramirez of Alandis. I hit him up and I asked him like if he was familiar with any shops around here. And yeah, he sent me a few shops, and I remember contacting them through Instagram, and some responded, some didn't. And it's funny because the one where I'm working at now, I had sent him a message back then, but the dude, he's like super busy, so he hardly checks his Instagram. Well, I'm not sure on that, but he probably doesn't really check his DMs as much. He never responded, so time went by. I went to another shop in person, talked to them, told me to come back another day for like a little interview, and I did that. And then they said they weren't really looking for like internships or whatever, like to teach someone, you know, because they were too busy or whatever. And so time went on. I kind of got like bummed out because I was like really inspired to want to get into like a body shop to start getting experience. That's really important for me, like experience. But then time went by. I tried getting like a regular job. That didn't happen either, like Target, Costco, whatever. And then I kind of just said I'm just gonna focus on school, you know, because I wasn't able to get the jobs I wanted or internships. And then I think it was around December, towards the end, where Alex, he sent me a DM again with that dude's post. He made a post on Instagram saying that they were looking for someone. And I matched the description that the dude was looking for. And I sent him a message and let him know that I was interested in the position. And then I don't know if he answered like instantly, but he got back at me. He's like, hey dude, I forgot exactly what he said, but he got in contact with me. He called me, I think the next day through the phone, and then we set up a meeting, and then I went by to the shop and we talked. And it was basically up to me to let him know when I wanted to. He gave me total freedom of like choosing the days I want to go work, what hours, what days, and all that. So, but yeah, it all went down through Alex. So big thanks to Alex
Man, that's
about
so.
that.
When you met up with him, did you bring your model cars with you or not?
No, I don't think I had my model cars with me, like at my brother's house. But I did actually take them on Friday, last Friday. They saw them and they were just like surprised.
Just tripping
Not
out.
surprised. Yeah, tripping out, exactly. It. It's funny because I don't know. I think he told me in person one time when I was working. He's like, "Hey, you should bring some of your cars and show us one day." And then I remember I took my Horizon 64 one day, but they were just too busy to like stop working and like check it out, you know. So they just got like a small little glimpse of it, and then it was last Friday when I took all of them, before heading back to my house and dropping them off. And I took out the cars. I started messing with the 64, the pink one, with the switches and everything. And they're just tripping out. But yeah, they enjoyed it.
That's awesome, dude. And
Yeah.
what have you been learning there now that you've started?
So at this shop, the one I'm working at, is, I guess I could give out the name. I don't think he cares much, but it's Scotty Chops. And the guy just kind of focuses on like metal work and sheet metal, like chop tops and I guess like rust repair and all that stuff. But he works a lot with the English wheel, and I'm not sure what the other machines are called, but he could basically make a frame for you, make a door for you, and that's basically what he does. But right now, he said he was gonna teach me how to weld, how to work the sheet metal and all that stuff. One time he put me to install the rear trailing arms for a car he's working on, which was kind of crazy because when I was underneath that car and like putting the trailing arms on that, I was kind of getting like pictures in my head of like me working on model cars with like the tubings for like the hydraulics and all that stuff. It was like really similar how it looked on the real car compared to like the model car. But yeah, on the in the shop, I'm kind of just organizing, sweeping the floors, starting at the bottom. But eventually, I know he's gonna put me to work on the cars, welding, like teaching me welding, and with the English wheel and all the other machines he has in there.
That's awesome, dude. You start to
Yeah.
Like you said, you start from the bottom and then you start to kind of graduate into the next thing, and then you
Yeah.
start to get more responsibilities down the road.
Yeah, and it's cool 'cause I feel like everything worked when it should, you know, 'cause back then I was trying to get a job, and most of the jobs I was trying to apply for, they probably wouldn't have been as flexible as this guy would have been. And it would have just been like a regular job, like Target or whatever, where I was just gonna be getting paid, you know. I wasn't gonna be getting experience or knowledge on cars, which was like for me, it's like I don't know, it's important because I want to get that experience now, start building that experience before I graduate college, you know.
Yeah. No, it's
And
true.
that was like kind of like the main focus for me in getting a job. And it's cool because through him, he recommended me to one of his friends that has a body shop, a paint shop, which is down the street, like literally down the street. And I went to his shop on Friday, this past Friday. He taught me a few little things right there, like how to block a car. And he put me to it, and he just left me. He's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go work on this other car, but I'll just be checking in on you here and there just to see what you're doing, if you're doing it right or whatever." But he literally just led me to it. Like, he just showed me how to do it, like, before even touching the tools. And he just, I basically had the freedom to work on the car.
That's tight, dude. It's cool. And thanks for keeping us updated too, like posting those videos, not videos, but pictures of what you're doing. 'Cause hey man, you're out there, you know, you're putting in the work right now.
Yeah, and it's something I always wanted, like just to start getting that experience.
Oh, yeah, 'cause I still remember when we would have conversations and you would tell me about that you wanted to get into that. And you know, it's tough, dude, 'cause not a lot of like some places will take you in, but then a lot of places nah, they 'cause they're so busy and they don't have like the staff or the time to show someone what's kind of going on. But I mean, it sounds like he genuinely wants to show you. So this way, you know, you could be in there helping out and become an asset to the company.
I'm gonna be going. So the regular job, it's just gonna be Monday through Thursday, and then I'm gonna be going to the paint shop on Friday. But I'm thinking of doing like half time at my job and then half time at the body shop, so I could work a little bit more hours, but then still go to the other shop and work on that project he has me on, like getting experience in blocking and sanding and all that good stuff, and eventually to paint.
Yeah, I feel like all the things he's going to show you about, like, you know, welding, blocking, painting, everything, chopping on top of that, it's going to be one of those things that when you go back, you're back at home and it's a day off and you can work on your cars, you're just going to, you already know the inside and outs of these cars and at the same time, like, appreciate them a lot.
Like even this weekend, like after having blocking that car, the way he told me to block the car, I was incorporating that into when I was sanding the underside of the hood for the 62. Like I was doing those cross motion, so like the X pattern kind of thing. I was doing that on the water cars. I was like, I don't know. I just found it funny how I was incorporating that into the water cars.
Yeah,
But I'm
already.
just usually sanding, like, I usually just sand left to right, like, you know, because I
Yeah.
know it doesn't really matter on the water car, but I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I know with this other guy that does the sheet metal work, the like the chop tops and all that stuff. I'm not really into that, but I was like, over the weekend, I was in my room, and my room has like a weird opening in one of the walls where I can like look downwards to the living room, and it has a little, the opening has like a little, I don't know how to call it, but like a little area where I can like set things down, and I have some like my model cars, like the boxes there. Just kind of as a display, and I have this, I think it's a 37 coupe, I think, or 47 coupe. I forgot what company makes it, but I got it because I thought it was like the Fleet Master or the Fleet Lane, and apparently it's not. It's just like it's a coupe. Like I'm not really into it, but then after seeing the work this guy does with all the chop tops and custom sheet metal, like I was thinking of like bringing it one day to like his shop and like asking him like what is he recommending me to do with the car, you know? Maybe that's gonna be my first chop top or something.
Yeah, dude, you never know. That's pretty dope.
Even though I'm not really into the car, I know I can do something different than I usually do.
Yeah, now you'll learn, definitely learn something from it. Doing that for sure. Damn, dude. Well, I'm happy for you, man. Congrats.
Thanks, thanks.
Yeah, just keep up the good work, you know, keep just doing your thing. And I'm excited too to see that 62,
Yeah, man, I'm excited too.
how it turns out. Is there anybody out there you want to give a shout out?
Let's see. I mean, the first one that pops up to my head is Chippa T.
Nice.
No, shout out to Chippa T. Shout out to everyone, man, that's building model cars. Everyone that's keeping the community together. You, Skill Writers, Dedicated Magazine. And
Thank
I
you.
know there's gonna be some new YouTubers out there, like Tony Johnson, Chippa T, who's already doing it.
Yeah.
Chester, shout out to him. I met him at the show in the West at the pre-party.
Nice.
Also, Skeleton, everyone, man. I can't remember what's the list.
Huh.
Yeah.
We need to go back to that taco spot that Javier took us to.
I know, right? Shout out to Javier for taking us there.
Coming through.
Yeah, man. I was kind of like, I wasn't sure about the spot, you know, because I feel like it was, I'm, I don't know, I'm kind of picky with food. But, man, I don't know if I was hungry, but the food was good.
Yeah, yeah, like, man, there's another secret spot right here.
I know, right? I think that's going to be the spot after in the list.
Yeah, dude, it was so good. I was, like, thinking, yeah. Like, man, how far are we from food, you know? And it's like, oh, there's a spot, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And we get there, and I'm like, dude, that was 10 minutes. I thought it was going to be far because we had to jump on the freeway and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. The food was good, though. I think that I'm going to... I know how you mentioned I think it was Chip of Tea in his podcast where you said where you were starving. Mm-hmm. I even like thought about like leaving to go get some food as well, but I wasn't sure because I kind of had like a good parking, but I wasn't sure if I was gonna lose it.
Oh yeah, then, on the structure.
Yeah, but then something about like leaving like my cars behind without telling no one to like watch them, like it's kind of sketchy for some reason. Even though I feel like no one would take them, but. Still.
Yeah, like, hey, whose cars are these? Oh, Luis. Oh, he'll be back. And everyone's gone.
Damn.
And you know when they're cleaning up how they put the paper on the tables?
Yeah, and they just roll it up.
And they just they're rolling up your cars and just tossing them.
Damn.
In the trash. Dang, all sad.
Yeah.
Nah, right on, dude. Well, hey, man, it was a fun speaking with you and a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you, man, for having me once again. I know we've been planning this for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks already.
Yeah, I've been like, dude, let's do it. That's how.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you finally found some time, you know?
Yeah.
We did it up, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to mention something before you end it.
Yeah.
52, that's actually going to be painted by my brother. Since it's his project, I kind of wanted him to paint it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of just doing like the body work and whatever little modifications he wants me to do to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he said he's down to shoot the paint on it. He's gonna be using the airbrush. So if he's down, I'm gonna try getting some footage on him like spraying it.
Uh huh.
But yeah, if he's down, I'll try to get some footage on that.
Dude, that'd be dope.
Shoot the clear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If he's down to shoot the clear, I'll let him do that as well.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe even like the bare metal foil not itself.
Yeah, one step at a time, you know?
Yeah.
I don't
think he'll get into it like 100%, but like maybe a car here and there, you know, like just a little simple car, you know.
Yeah. You should set the goal for this car to be done for next year for NNL.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you have enough time, no crazy pressure, but you know, casually work on it.
Yeah, I think it will be done like before then. The thing that kind of holds me back sometimes is the chrome plating, you know.
Oh yeah.
Since we're going for like a simple look, we might not do chrome on this car.
Mm-hmm.
But also money. But now that I have a job, like I can like put some money aside for the motor cars as well, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's always the tricky part. It's like chroming or wheels.
Yeah.
You know, those are the two like things that are hard sometimes, but it's like you have to I guess be patient for those things when those opportunities roll around, you know.
Yeah.
To jump on, or when you get the heads up that, oh, you know, you could get stuff plated here or whatever.
Yeah,
just gotta.
And I'm also trying to like change my mentality, like with motor cars this year, because like back then I would order stuff for other cars. Like I would get stuff for different cars, you know. Like I wouldn't just focus on one car like 100%. And I feel like I'm doing that with the 62, because I don't know if I told you where when I was ordering the paint for the 62, I was kind of like. Like, I wanted to order paint for other cars I have planned, you know? And it was hard, but, like, I just ordered the paint for the 62, you know? Just to focus on that car and get it finished as soon as I can.
No, yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, we get excited, You know, we're like, oh, I'm going to get all these other colors too and everything. But then again, that can backfire because you can buy multiple colors for other projects. But by the time you get to that car, that paint could probably go bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, depending where you store it.
Like
anything could kind of happen. And it's kind of cool when you just buy what you really need or what you want for that project. Yeah. And you use it up. And then you just, you know, whatever's left over, you either keep it or toss it. And then and then you just move on. And then it just gets excited to, like, open up or get some new fresh bottles of paint.
Yeah. And instead of, like, wasting your money on, like let's say, like, two different cars, that money you spend on that other car, you can spend it all on just one car.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you get all the pieces you need for that one car, and it helps you finish the car quicker.
Yeah.
There's no, like, in reality, there's no need to go buy stuff for another car that you're not really focused on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like my mentality for this year.
That's good.
That's not what I'm focusing on. So.
Dang. Mm-hmm. Learning. We don't stop.
Yeah.
Nah, that's cool, dude. Hell yeah, man. Well, let's end it there on a good note to learning, and have a good night, dude.
You too, man. And good night to all the listeners as well.
Yeah, and keep us posted on that 62 with you and your brother you got going on, and what other projects you got going on. Keep us posted as well.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do.
Awesome. Well, cool. You have a good night, man. Tell them I said what's up.
Yeah, for sure. Good night, editor.
All right. Good night. Peace.
Right.